Good morning. Okay, the question of the morning is, how many of you are here for worship and how many of you are here just for the air conditioning? I hope you're staying cool. Okay, Kathy, yes, air conditioning. Both, okay, we'll take it. I hope you're all staying comfortable these days. It is harder and harder to do, and I'm particularly concerned about our homeless folk, and let us keep them in prayer, and perhaps, I don't know, we might open up a part of the building. I have no permission to ask that, but that has never stopped me before. But let us keep them in prayer and use whatever opportunities we may have to help people in this time of extreme heat. Other announcements we have in our life as church, we are having Midsummer Nights. No, it's not a Shakespearean play. It is a time of what we used to call, I guess, vacation Bible school. And I remember some of my most fond memories growing up were vacation Bible school, and I still have, unto this day, a ceramic walrus that I glazed. I think I was in about the second grade, and it is a point of pride of my artistic abilities, and probably the only point of pride of my artistic abilities. So come, it's Wednesday night, and we had about, 20 adults or so, and a couple of children wandering around loose, and it was a great time. And we had Domino's Pizza, and we're going to do better this week. Am I correct? We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs. Barbecue, okay, even better. So we've taken two steps up. So come for the culinary experience of it all and the fellowship and the inspiration through the TED Talks or the Theo Talks. Good times had by all. Join us for Kid City Christmas in July. We need some volunteers to help give out books and serve a box dinner to those who will be participating on July the 31st. Alice, do you have any other details on that? Let her know if you want to help. Okay, very good. The knitters are back at work, and I saw some of their handiwork this past Wednesday night, the little hats for the babies at the hospital. So come and be a part of that. And we will have Band-Aids and Mercurochrome for those who are not handy with the needles. Kathy Bridges is in charge of that. The Congregational Life Team will once again serve lemonade on the lawn. That will be next Sunday. So come and have some refreshment and some fellowship and invite friends to come along and share in the generosity of lemonade and cookies. Yeah. Any other announcements in the life of the church together? Seeing none, let us come and worship the Lord. The peace of Christ be with you all.
This is the day the Lord has made. We stand at the very gates of Jerusalem.
Let us enter in and give thanks.
The Lord is our rock and our salvation.
Thanks and praise are due His holy name.
And let us pray. With boundless thanks and joyous hearts, Lord, we enter into your gates. You have set us above the task of sowing your seed and gathering your harvest. Give us, we pray, in this hour, your grace and strength, that our worship may bring you glory and our efforts bring increase to your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence. And together we pray. Like Jacob and Esau, O Lord, two natures war within us. We have little peace in our conflict and are easily distracted from the work of the kingdom. Help us to have peace within ourselves and realize that both natures are beloved by you, each having a place in your creation and in our lives. Settle our bitter selves and grant your loving reunion that we may serve you fully and graciously. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Seated. We'll have our time with the children. I'm looking for my dynamic duo. Here they come. All right. You know, one thing I appreciate about Michelle this morning is she gave me enough time to confess my sins. And sometimes I get kind of rushed and I don't get quite done. All right. There we go. Oh, and hello, dear. Okay. Well, you know the drill, right?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we did it. Yes. Oh, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. Yes. All right.
Good morning.
Did y'all have fun at Vacation Bible School or Midsummer Nights this past Wednesday? Jury's kind of out, huh? Did you have a good time? Yeah. Okay. I had a good time. I drove over and we had a good time. And talking about things we're going to do, and you talked about the Good Samaritan. Remember, we had a play about that. And then we sang some songs. And then Miss Jean talked about we're going to paint some rocks with the books of the Bible on them and a descriptor on the back. And you know, I used to paint rocks. Mother Army, in her infinite wisdom, had me painting a lot of rocks white. She thought that might help me to appreciate the benefits of authority. It didn't really work, but that's okay. But I'm looking forward to seeing the rocks starting to get painted, and then we're gonna put them in a rock garden outside. And you know how long they will be there? Forever, yes, we hope so. Or maybe we'll have to replace some of them. Because I'm betting you that some people will come by and pick up some of those rocks and look at them and then turn them over and see that Genesis is the story of creation. And that might even help them to go home and read their Bibles and read the story of creation and then go even beyond that. And when they do that and they take that rock, what are we going to do? Make a new one. Yeah, we're not going to chase them down and beat them up. We're going to make a new one and keep it going. And you know what? Years and years from now, say when you're off at college or something, you might come back for a visit and find those rocks still there. And you will remember that you had a part in the ministry of this church, even when you were young. You're never too young to be a child of God. That's a good thing to know. And also, you're never too old to be a child of God. We're all God's children. Let's remember that as we go about God's work. Holy God, we thank you for the gifts you give us in opportunities to serve you, like these rocks that we're going to name and paint. We thank you that these gifts will last a long, long time. And even when we're gone, they'll still be here, showing your goodness and your grace and your love. So bless us and keep us, we pray, especially these your smaller servants. Through the power of Jesus our Lord.
I'll see you next Sunday. Maybe I'll see you next.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Listen for God's word. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" So Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Listen for God's word. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Someone said this past week, and they're not here today, so I can quote them. It's amazing how well our choir does without leadership. And I hasten to say, you obviously have not been paying attention. There is leadership within that choir that enables them to go nonstop, and I think they certainly deserve a round of applause. Yeah, I know it's hard to get Presbyterians to do that, but you did it anyway, and I'm proud of you. Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 18 through 23. And this is the very familiar parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root but endures only for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Eternal God, your word comes before us, and we receive it in many, many different ways, in many, many different days, always varying, yet constantly your word. So help us to listen and to appropriate it into our lives, that it may find its fullest manifestation in our hearts and the work of our hands. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Sometimes it so happens that the Lord has a different purpose for my sermon. And I had worked on this sermon based on Isaac and Jacob, or Esau and Jacob, for a couple of weeks. I kind of jot down some notes, do a little reading, nothing terribly intense until about 2 or 3 days before the actual event happens. And so it was on Friday night, as I was putting a few things together, it became apparent to me that that was not the sermon that God wanted me to preach. And so, true to form, I said, okay, God, it's in your hands. I've done all I can do. And God, in his mercy, said, just shut up and do what I tell you. So this sermon is not going to feature Jacob and Esau. Rather, this is going to be once again about the parable of the sower and the varying soils. So buckle your seatbelts. I don't really know where this is going to go, but we're going to find out together. Kind of makes you nervous, doesn't it? Presbyterians in the midst of uncertainty. But we will take this journey today together. W. Forrest Lanier was my first pastor who I also had as a boss. He was the pastor at the Northside Drive Baptist Church. It was a Baptist church, but not obnoxiously so. It was kind of like, more like Presbyterians. It was people who had advanced degrees. It was college professors. It was teachers. It was administrators, it was government officials, a good crowd. And Forrest Lanier used to trot out this sermon whenever things were kind of slowing down, when the horses were showing some signs of fatigue and attendance dropped, and then maybe the receipts dropped from the offering plates, and whenever he sensed that things were starting to lag, he would break out this sermon about the sower and the seeds. and he would use it to whip the people into shape. Oh, some of you are the hard-packed soil. The word comes to you and you do nothing with it. And the birds of misfortune come and eat the seeds. And some of you are like that. And others of you, well, you're like the thorny receipt of the word. The seed comes to you and the cares of the world carry you off. And you go to soccer games on Sunday mornings instead of church. And some of you are like the hard, rocky soil. The word comes to you and it takes a little bit of root. But when adversity comes, you give it up and the word withers and dies. I thought that was a pretty good impersonation of it. Like I said, it was Baptist, but not obnoxiously so, except when he trotted out this sermon, which he tended to do about twice a year. I hate this passage. I will tell it to you plainly. I have never liked it. Every time I've heard it preached upon, it has been a word of judgment. And, you know I'm a louse. I don't need people to tell me that. I don't need a guilt trip, thank you very much. I've got a whole lifetime of misdeeds and regrets. I don't need somebody else pointing them out to me, thank you very much. And I suspect you are the same way. Let me suggest to you that this passage today is not about the soil. Let me say that again. This passage is not about the soil. It's not about you and me. This has nothing to do with our receptivity to the word. Rather, this passage has to do with the marvelous abundance of the sower, the sower. That marvelous abundance which scatters the seed wherever it might go. Now, my first parish was a rural parish, mostly farmers, and I learned a whole lot about farming and wells and septic tanks and the center pivot irrigation systems, which they called the center pivot irrigation systems. And these guys would drive tractors that were programmed, and it would plunge the seed at exactly the right depth for it to germinate. And seed was not wasted. Neither was fertilizer nor water. Everything was getting computerized in those days. And it was a marvelous thing to watch. Their tractors were guided by satellites now. Oh, it's a marvelous thing. But you compare that to the sower today in our gospel lesson. And he just throws that seed out with reckless abandon to any place that will possibly take it, knowing full well that there are places where it might not take. Let me suggest to you that we can't identify ourselves as one type of soil or another, because there is no consistency within us. That's part of our human nature. There are days when I am the rocky soil. There are days when I am the thorny soil. There are days when I am the fertile soil and everything in between. And God casts the blessings of his word upon me no matter what kind of soil I am that day. God doesn't care because he's got plenty of seed of his word to share. And God knows that every time I receive some of that marvelous broadcast of his word, his blessings, there is always the chance that it is going to take root and grow and become something that brings glory to the kingdom. You see, it's not about you and me and our abilities, our shortcomings, our glories or our despairs. God is constantly sharing with us his word, always with the knowledge. It may not grow today, but it may sit there and eventually take root. It's not about the soil. Actually, you see, it's about the seed. Seed can only bear fruit when it quits being a seed. I don't know a whole lot about gardening. I don't plant many seeds. I like to go to Home Depot or Quinn's or some other place and buy my plants that are already established. I can usually handle those okay. I'm not patient enough to plant a peony seed and wait to see what happens. But I know how those peonies come. It's because that seed breaks its shell, takes root, and grows. When I was at the University of Georgia, you had to take a lab science, okay? A lot of people took biology, and I heard horror stories about biology. It was the freshman flunk out class. It was an auditorium three times this size, packed full of freshmen. And I decided anything has got to be better than that, so I took botany. Little did I know. Oh, Lord. My first quarter, we were still on quarters back then, back in the dark ages. My first quarter, class started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My grandfather was so mad at me, that was my first class of the day. The second quarter, winter quarter, I had to be there at 7:50. And you had labs, and you had to be early because the lab tech said, if you're here on time, you're late. If you're here 10 minutes early, you're on time. Oh, it was awful. And it was all chemistry and learning terms like the apical meristem of a plant. I can still remember that. I also can identify leaves and roots. That's about it. The seed miraculously grows, not because of what we do, but of what God provides. Now, see, that takes a whole lot of responsibility off our shoulders, doesn't it? God sows the seed. We may or may not provide a welcome habitat for it. On our best days we do, on our worst days we don't, but even despite our predilections, God sends what is needed for that seed to burst its shell, take root, and grow. I just thought about that Friday night and yesterday and woke up in a cold sweat this morning about 3 o'clock because I was going to launch out on something that I had no idea whether this word would fall upon you and germinate or not. Some of you will say, well, preacher, you've given it plenty of fertilizer this morning. Same ones who told me I need to keep my sermon short because there's already plenty of hot air out there. But I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the fact we're not perfect. We're not always going to be consistent in what kind of soil we are. And guess what? That's okay. Because God uses what we have and what we are to make us into what God wants us to be. Sounds a whole lot like Presbyterian predestinationalism, doesn't it? Well, you know, there might be something to that stuff. I'm not going to get into that today. Suffice it to say, God calls, sends the seed. We receive it or not, but God will always find a way to bring about the increase of his word. There it is. Short, sweet, simple, and seed-bearing. Let's pray together. Almighty God, with gracious and grateful hearts, we come before you. Fill us with your seed, your word, even when we're not receptive, and guide us to be the hospitality field of your kingdom, even when we don't fit all the criteria. Guide us and keep us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Together, let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. It is hot outside, O Lord, not only in temperature, but in crisis. We live in the midst of hard times where life seems cheap and tempers flare, where your people suffer fear to go out in public, fearing that someone might do something idiotic with a gun. We pray for those who are trapped by violence, O Lord. Send your spirit of peace unto them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we live in an unstable world where dictators and despots seem to gain power daily. And yet your people lift up their prayers, if not their hands, to oppose their continuing reigns of terror. Send, we pray, your Holy Spirit to leaders everywhere, especially to those whom we so quickly call our enemies. Show them the light of your kingdom and grant that they may find a path that leads to your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we live our lives based on our faith. Sometimes it is challenged and sometimes it is affirmed, and yet at all times it is a gift from you. Help us to rely upon that gift as we go through our days. Help us to seek you out even as you seek us, Lord, in your mercy. And grant that we may find our strength in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive a portion of that which you first entrusted to us. Multiply these gifts by your grace, that your kingdom may be expanded and that our hearts may be strengthened in the giving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now go forth from this place in peace, knowing that in all days you will be the rocky soil, the thorny soil, the hardened path, and yet also the fertile soil. Accept what God sends and allow him to work the increase within your heart, your soul, and your life, being always grateful for that presence which inspires, enlightens, and calls. In the name of God, the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.